is now abridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to first day of April and our USCDI task force meeting. Of the group, we have our co-chairs, Christina and Terry. Also from the member side, we have Stephen Lane and Tina Esposito. I don't think any of the others have joined, but I'll just do a quick check. Do we have any other task force members that have dialed in? Okay. Hearing none, I will turn it over to Christina and Terry to get us started.
Great.
So, would you like to?
Sure.
Sure.
So today we're going to go little different of an order. We're going to go into our pediatric vital signs, and then we're going to go over the homework questions on clinical notes and provenance and continue that discussion. So we can move on to the next slide. We've made a couple changes here, actually, as of today that aren't updated. We're actually going to have our April 8th meeting is going to be this Friday at 1 p.m. You should have received a calendar notice for that. And then next week, we are presenting our next round of draft recommendations during the HITECH meeting, and then we'll be finalizing based on any comment that we get during that meeting. We'll finalize on April 25th. So moving on to the next slide. Actually, I think we can go just to the next one. So we have taken into the discussion on the pediatric vital signs. We have the three proposed data elements from ONC to review, which are the BMI percentile per age and sex for youth 2 to 20, weight for age per length and sex, and OCPIP, oh my gosh, I had this, how do you say this word properly?
Occipital.
Thank you. I actually had it. In,
occipito.
Sorry.
Occipito parietal. Oh, occipital frontal, sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Occipital circumference for under 3 years of age. And then any missing elements. So I guess we can go ahead and kick off the discussion with that.
Well, one thing that I read Steve Posnack's response to all of us regarding the provenance, you know, and the sense that I got from that was really, you know, that there's a desire that we not muddy the waters too much, that we move ahead with what's been suggested and perhaps create a roadmap for the future, which I think is reasonable. You know, taking baby steps seems to be pretty successful for most of us. So I think that these, you know, as a provider who provides care for kids, these are very reasonable. And certainly pediatric obesity drives the need for the BMI. The weight for age is again related to that, that sort of tracking kids for obesity and for appropriate growth. And head circumference is just a very standard measurement that we do on infants, mostly in the first year of life, but certainly up to 3 years, to assure that their development is on track. So, and that's not used in adults, which I think is why it was left out initially. So I think that these are all very reasonable. I mean, there are lots of other vital signs that one could collect, but I'll be interested to see if we get any kind of public comment back specifically from pediatric endocrinologists or folks who work on developmental pediatrics. But I think that this really does move us forward as an addition. The other first thing that would come to mind would be kind of percentiles for the blood pressure, because just like with pediatric obesity, pediatric hypertension is becoming more of an issue, you know, as the population grows in every dimension. But again, I feel comfortable with this as a first pediatric addition to the sort of the standard vital signs that we collect on all other patients.
Steven, this is Terry. That's really helpful. Thank you. But what about blood pressure, which seems to be a...
Well, I assume, you know, we've got blood pressure as a vital sign already. I mean, and that's certainly worth clarifying. I mean, we've got vital signs in USCDI from before, I presume, in the core clinical data set. Maybe we can go back and review that. But I'm assuming, not knowing this, you know, off the top of my head, that blood pressure, pulse, weight, you know, are already included in USCDI from before, but maybe I shouldn't make such an assumption.
Your assumption is correct.
Okay, good. Great. All right. Yeah. So yeah, I think blood pressure is key, and as I said, sort of the next place that comes to my mind would be blood pressure percentiles. You know, the other thing that a lot of pediatric care providers utilize is alternative standards for the growth charts. So growth charts, you know, where we manage looking at length and weight and this head circumference in particular by age, typically that data is presented in a nomogram format where you can see where the individual patient sits with regard to their percentiles. Most of those, the vendors will present standards from the World Health Organization, but there are alternate standards for premature, for individuals who were born prematurely, for individuals with certain genetic conditions. But I guess that's not so much USCDI. It's not so much the data that we're sharing. What we're sharing is actually the height, the weight, the head circumference, and then it's really up to the recipient EHR to display that data as they do. So it's not really a USCDI issue. It's kind of interesting, you know, because they're including the BMI percentile, and there again, that's a calculated number. You know, the BMI is calculated off the age, the height, and the weight. So it is interesting. What they're saying is that the source system should calculate that number and then send the calculated percentile, which again will be determined by what standard nomogram you're using. So that I hadn't thought about that.
So
really, the second one is also calculated, weight for age, you know, by gender. You know, that is a little weight for age per length and size. What exactly does that mean? That language is a little odd. Let me pull up my system real quick and just see how we present that. Sorry, I don't mean to distract here. But
let's see, I think it's a good conversation.
And Steven, sort of the overarching issue, and I think you hit it right off the bat, is what elements do we want to give ONC the green light on now, and what do we want to put in the next bucket as sort of a heads
right.
up of where things should go?
Just trying to find a kid on my schedule here. Okay, growth charts.
Yeah,
interesting, the only one of these that's really a vital sign per se is the head circumference. The others are calculated numbers from the actual vital signs themselves, which again, you know, the vital signs themselves are really more the weight, the length, obviously, heart rate, blood pressure, temperature, et cetera, and then this BMI. So the BMI percentile, I'm looking at this now, is based on a nomogram, which in my system we get it from the CDC, and it's by gender, and it is from 2 to 20, so that's the age is right. And really, and what they do is they take the weight and the length, and they determine the percentile, the BMI percentile. So per age and sex. So it is by sex because the nomograms are by sex, and it is by age because that's a key factor. So that one makes sense. But then the weight one, weight for age per length and sex. I don't know what that means. So there's weight for length. That is a thing that that we calculate, and it is by it is gender specific, and though the age does not. Let's see, weight. Or length. I think that's actually miswritten. I think we've had a misspelling on this PED stuff before with the less than 3 years old thing. I think it's weight for length per age and sex is really what that should say.
Yeah. So yeah, aren't vital signs, to your point, isn't it really height, you know, height / length, weight, blood pressure, head circumference.
Those, pulse.
Those, out of those,
O2 sat. Is O2 sat in our core clinical data set, by the way?
Interesting.
Because, I mean, that's important in adults and kids.
As a rant, as a routine measurement?
As a vital sign, yeah. I mean, it's one that I use all the time. I'm sure you do, too.
Selected. I'm not sure how useful it is, but.
Well, I mean, in kids who are sick, it's pretty useful.
Yeah.
But,
the ones that are the vital signs in there are systolic blood pressure, body height, body weight, heart rate, respiratory rate, body temperature, pulse oximetry, and
there you go. That's the
O2
set.
Concentration.
Perfect. Okay, those are all great. Yeah, so really the only one of these that is a vital sign per se that we're adding is the occipitofrontal circumference, and that's very appropriate. The other two are really speaking to a calculated value that is based on other vital signs, specifically height, weight, and again, it in most systems, that's going to be calculated based on the CDC standards, but there's also a WHO standard. So it's kind of interesting to say that if you're going to send the calculated value, the BMI percentile, the weight for age or weight for length, I should say. Weight for length is actually very – the weight for length is a simple, you know, division problem. But when you say weight for length by age and sex, then you're looking at a percentile. So I think that we should change the wording on that second sub-bullet to say weight for length percentile per age and sex. And I would again say for youth 2 to 20, because that's what the CDC gives us in their nomogram. The WHO does 5 to 19, apparently. But I think that, so again, in both cases, this is a percentile. And in neither case, given the language, do they say percentile based on what standard? So I think if we just want percentile, we also have to say what is the reference database that was used to calculate the percentile.
Yep.
So for both of these, BMI percentile per age and sex, for youth 2 to 20, you know, plus reference data set used to calculate the percentile. And then the weight for length, we need to get that right. Same thing per age and sex for youth 2 to 20, including reference data set.
Yep. So it raises a question in my mind about whether we just specify specifically for pediatrics, just to make sure it's clear, the actual vital. And really the calculations then, you know, become an issue for the core system. But do you routinely exchange BMI percentiles or blood pressure?
Well, no, that's what's interesting. So in my system, there actually is the ability to exchange pediatric vital signs. That's something we installed, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And it's really cool because when I look on a growth chart, I can see the growth points, you know, that were obtained in my system, and I can see those that were obtained in other systems, you know, using the same vendor. But I don't, you know, the percentile, it really seems to me that that would be recalculated in my system based on the raw data. So I don't really see a whole lot of value in sharing the calculated percentiles. I mean, it's sort of better than nothing. But really, I would assume that having the percentile sent from the source system is vaguely interesting, but having the data integrated into the recipient system, so the recipient system's calculation and nomograms could be used, and the outside data and the internally generated data could be tracked together in a consistent format. That's actually really the more important issue. So I'm not against sharing calculated BMI and weight for length percentiles, but I don't see it as having tremendous value. And everything I'm saying is sort of brand fresh ideas in my mind, because when I read this the first 3 times, none of this struck me as problematic.
So no, but
I'm glad we're digging deep.
Yeah, but I think you raised an important point. It's sort of the core data, I think, is what matters most. And then that system functionality that takes that data and converts it into information of value to you, but it's really the core data that you're going to be exchanging. So I'll make a motion that says, let's explicitly list the vital signs that are already in USCDI under the pediatric banner, include all of those plus the occipitofrontal circumference.
Right.
And make that our recommendation, with a note saying, these data will let you calculate, you know, all the other stuff.
Well, I think that the question is, and again, I don't think it's a USCDI question, what we want is for recipient systems to receive the external vital sign data and to be able to integrate it and provide a single longitudinal view of the patient's data. But that's not our job. That's not what USCDI is about.
I would
question, you know, in addition to what you just said, I really would question the value of sending calculated percentile data. Though I guess the one is, as someone who works in a fully functional EHR, maybe that's easy for me to say. If you're not working in a fully functional EHR and you're getting this data, you know, if you're the patient, for example, or if you're an app, or, you know, if you're not a recipient system that's prepared to take it and integrate it and calculate these, I guess there is value in receiving those calculated percentiles. Though, again, only if and only if they are received along with the reference, a statement of what reference database was used to calculate them.
Yeah. This is Al Taylor from ONC, and this is my first time on the call, but I'm going to be assuming a role with USCDI going forward at ONC.
Hey, Al.
Your point about the transmitting calculated data is an excellent one, especially when you consider that the calculation is going to be different depending on which nomogram you use, meaning full-term infant, preemie, which is not so much the ages 2 to 20, but the age per length is going to assume probably a preemie. You may need to use a preemie chart for that. And there's also other ones like Down syndrome charts that might be applicable to that. So if you send me a percentile, but the patient's a Down syndrome baby, those numbers are not going to integrate into my normal baby nomogram.
And I'm reminded, Al, that you're a pediatrician, right?
OB.
Oh, you're OB. Okay, I'm sorry.
One step down the line. Okay.
No, we think of that as better than the pediatrician, but that's just.
Well, you're a scout leader, so that counts,
trouble.
Right?
We cause trouble. So I think that being able to just, and if you did transmit the data, the calculated data, you'd have to say which graph, not only when it was calculated, but which graph was used, because then because a receiving EHR may or may not own the preemie chart or the Down syndrome chart.
Right. That's why I think, so again, I've convinced myself, first that it wasn't that important, and now again that it is important, because again, there's more stakeholders that need to receive and make use of the USCDI than folks in my position, as a provider using a highly functional EHR. So I think we got that. And again, in terms of missing pediatric vital signs, I think, as you said, if you take the core ones from the core clinical data set, you add the head circumference, we throw in these calculated percentiles and word them right, and include the reference data set, I think we're good.
Let me push back and say, let's not include any calculated values.
But again, the reason I convinced myself back on that one is because what if I'm a PHR? And I'm not prepared, I don't have nomograms and whatnot. Receiving the calculated value, I think, would be real valuable. What if I'm a home care, nurse taking care of a chronically ill kid, and my home care system doesn't know what to do with that. If you just get the raw, height and weight, you don't really have a context. So that's why I think these are good. They provide context for the raw vital sign data for those whose systems won't give them that context themselves.
Well, maybe I'm more optimistic that the systems will actually be able to do that fairly.
Yeah, but that's not our job in USCDI, right? We're just about the data.
Right. So.
Which I think this is a really interesting conversation. So if we're just about the data, then should we be doing the calculations? Because the calculation is more, it's more knowledge-based, whereas just the raw data is that actual measurement.
I hear you. I'm just still thinking about recipients and stakeholders who don't have the ability to do the calculation, and I don't think that we can assume that everyone will.
But they could plot it out on a nomogram that they could print off the internet.
Right. This is Cheryl Turney. I agree. I think it was John that was talking, or I'm sorry if I don't recognize the voice, but I agree with that as well. I think there's a number of stakeholders that are not going to have the reference graph or the ability to do the calculations, especially the patient. And so they're going to want to know, what does that mean?
That was me, Cheryl. Stephen Lane.
Oh, Stephen, I'm sorry. I should recognize your voice.
No worries. So we're of two minds. We've got the position that says, just send the raw data and leave it up to the recipient to do the best they can, because that's not really our business in USCDI, and the idea that including that contextual data in addition, when it's available, or really I guess USCDI means it's required. So we're sort of forcing the sending system to do that calculation. So that's interesting. That's a way that we can sort of use USCDI as a lever to drive EHR functionality, right? We're saying basically the EHR has to calculate these percentiles and then send them. I think part of what we're trying to do here is sort of create value for the pediatric provider community, or for the, you know, the pediatric community generally, you know, where there's a perception that that was lacking before, and looking for what is the lowest hanging fruit. And here again, since I think most systems do pretty routinely, pediatric care systems routinely calculate and display this data, sharing it again for other really stakeholders beyond the clinician group, that is really, they're really the beneficiaries of these, because I think we can assume that most clinical systems will receive the raw data and recalculate it.
So let me ask the question a different way. Are there any calculated values that are useful that aren't driven off this comprehensive list of vital signs? Now, are there any other values you use in practice that you calculate that you find helpful? And do any of them rely on vital signs and not on our core list?
Well, so yes. So the length and the weight it's themselves, and the blood pressure, as I said, will each have reference data sets and be displayed in a, you know, growth chart format that is what is often used. So, you know, we're talking about calculating these percentiles for BMI and for weight for length, but there are also calculated percentiles for weight itself and for length itself, and as I said, for blood pressure. So those have been left out. And there again, if we were talking about adding pediatric vital sign data elements, I mean, if once we're saying, please calculate a percentile for age and gender and send that along, why would we limit ourselves to BMI and weight for length? Why wouldn't we include the percentiles for length, weight, blood pressure, et cetera? So maybe that's another way to slice this, to say that really the only the only new data element that we're proposing is the head circumference. And then optionally, there is potential value for non-clinician stakeholders to receive percentile data and the supporting reference data set for vital sign data. But if we're going to do that, let's not just do it for BMI and weight for length. Let's also do it for length and weight and blood pressure. So give them two options. Either just add the head circumference and let everybody else deal with the calculations of the percentiles, or let's do percentile calculations comprehensively and consistently across each vital sign.
And this is Tina. I'm sorry, really quick. I think what Stephen just checked me on this. I mean, it sounds as if certainly we're going to stay true to our mission, which is to ensure that the data transmits and gets to where it needs to go. But what I'm hearing you say is that in order for it to be meaningful, we have to ensure that there's a percentile that's calculated. Do I have that right? Is there sort of a meaning that's missed if the second step doesn't occur?
Whenever you interpret pediatric vital signs, you do it in the context of percentiles. Whether it's an individual vital sign like a length, or a derived measurement like a weight for length or a BMI. So the percentile is the context that allows you to meaningfully interpret the vital sign. And again, if you're in a clinical system, which is highly functional, your system will do those calculations and do that presentation. But if you're in a nursing system or a, you know, a public health system or a home care system, or you know, or you're the patient themselves or a caregiver of a child, then that contextual information is really valuable.
And I guess I would just put forth, and that's the comment, you know, for most or for many that are that have access to an advanced electronic medical record, this is not an issue, but for others, this would be, in this context, would be important.
So my current proposal is that we say, yes, there's one new vital sign to add, which is the head circumference. And yes, there is value for some stakeholders in receiving the contextual information that that is the percentiles that are derived from the vital signs. And then I would suggest that we make a list of those. And it would not only include the BMI per age and sex and the weight for length per age and sex, but it would also include the weight itself, the length itself, the head circumference itself, the pulse, the blood pressure, and in each of those, for each of those vital signs or derived ratios, that they should be, you know, calculated and sent with the reference data set.
Okay. And that matches the comments that Bob McClure is making in the chat. So I think let's make our recommendation that. That's really a bifurcated recommendation. For vital signs, here's what we want. For calculated for calculations, there's a comprehensive list of them that all need to be standards-based or clearly identified what nomograms are in the background, and let them sort it out.
I like it. And thank you, Dr. McClure.
Thank you, Dr. McClure. And thank you, Dr. Lane and Dr. Taylor and everybody.
And Terry, this is Ken. Can I make a quick comment?
Hey, Ken. Yes.
I do think it gets a little bit complicated in this one because there's so many different charts that could be used. So I think if we are going to recommend that the data be sent rather than the functionality be available to calculate these, then we need to be clear. Like, are we saying we want the CDC growth chart, the WHO growth chart? If they have, you know, Down syndrome, are we expecting the data sent to take that into account and use a different growth chart?
Ken, what we're saying is, send us the raw vital sign data and calculate your percentile. By whatever means you do, send the calculated percentile and the reference data set that was used to calculate it. So I don't think that we have to say, you know, which reference data set they need to use. They just need to, if they're calculating it, that's fine, but just tell us which reference data set they use. Because again, if you're a clinical system, you're going to receive the raw data and recalculate it based on, you know, your assessment. You know, am I using a preemie growth chart? Am I using a Down's growth chart, et cetera? That's up to the recipient system to make that determination. But if you're a non-clinician system, if you're a home care system, if you're a patient health record, then just knowing what the calculated percentile was and what was used to calculate it seems to me to be enough. I don't think we need to specify which nomogram they would, which reference data set they would use.
Okay. I think it'd be a pretty big ask, and it is, there's so many things that we could ask along these lines, like if you're going to, you know, give us a certain grant, then you must, you know, send a grant and clearance or whatnot. I mean, I'm not necessarily against it. I would be interested in what EHR vendors think of, you know, this requirement, but
We could phrase it in another way, Ken. Instead of saying you must send this, you know, as part of USCDI, we could say for the calculated percentiles that if the source system calculates percentiles, then they must be sent. But because, again, I mean, you might have, I can imagine a pediatric patient health record, right, where you've got parents entering growth parameters, and they may or may not calculate these percentiles. And if they don't, you know, maybe USCDI, it's not our job to force them to do it. So this may be a, if you do this, if your the source system does this, then you must send it.
Yeah, and
Christina,
just a comment, there's some systems may be set up so that they support multiple charts, and it's just up to the end user to select which chart they want to use. I'm not sure it's being recorded, which of those is actually the correct chart to use for that patient. So there may be some complications because they may calculate it, but they may rely on an end user to select it at the time of use, which chart is most appropriate. But, I mean, if it's along the lines of, like, you know, if you have what you know is definitively the right one, then you should send it, I think that's fine.
How about changing the language from must to may? Because I'm concerned about the point you're raising, Ken. I see the value of it, but I think we're stepping into an area that complicates this information sharing rather than simplifies it or clarifies it.
I think I agree as well. You know, again, I'm sort of sitting here playing with pediatric growth charts in my system. And Ken's absolutely right that as a user, I can say, well, I always routinely I want to use the CDC reference data set, but if I want, I can switch over to the WHO reference data set, you know, and the data displays differently. But I'm guessing that my system is not storing the percentile data in a data field where it could then send it. I think it's just displaying it against a nomogram that will, you know, when I hover over the point, it calculates the percentile. But I'll bet that's not being stored. I mean, or it could be, it could not be. I mean, we don't want to create more work than necessary for systems. So I like the idea that, you know, if you have this, you are encouraged to send it, you know, but if you don't have it, I mean, again, even using a highly functional EHR, I don't know if these percentiles are stored, because again, for any given data point on my growth chart, you know, if I switch my reference data set in real time, the percentile changes. And again, I don't think that's being stored anywhere. I think it's just being displayed. So if you store percentile data, then you should send it with the reference data set. But yeah, I don't think we need to demand that every EHR vendor suddenly start storing that in a discrete field. That seems like it's asking for a lot of development time and energy that could be put into something more valuable.
Okay, so do we think we've reached a consensus around adding one new pediatric vital sign to the long list that's already in USCDI, and then encouraging systems that can send calculated data points, that they send those with their reference, with the reference data set?
Well, but actually, it could be a little separate. So you could calculate a weight for length. It's just a ratio. You can calculate a BMI. It's a little bit more complicated ratio. And so those are derived vital signs, if you will. So I would say if the system derives a weight for length and or a BMI, that they should send that. But again, the recipient system can always derive that from the core vital sign data. Similarly, so the first is the vital signs, then there's the calculated derived measures, weight for ratios, weight for length and BMI, and then there's the percentile data. So that's like a third layer. if your system calculates and stores percentile data, then you should send that along with the reference data set that was used for that calculation. So I'd say I'd break it into three.
Thank you, Stephen. That makes a lot of sense to me. Other comments on this that, you know, either for or against that position? Just so we're going to put it down as a consensus. We'll circle back to this probably next week. Anyone else want to weigh in on that formulation?
No, I don't have any further comment.
Okay.
I don't have anything more to add.
Okay. So it's a wrap. So hopefully, Stephen, we will put it down as you have said it. Great. That was a good discussion. Thank you. Thank you all. okay. And thank you, Dr. McClure, as well. Very helpful. Okay. So, Christina, where are we going from here?
We are going to pull up our homework questions on clinical notes and provenance. So we sent around with our Google Doc. Maybe, Johnny, we can go into our Google Doc now as well.
Yep, sorry, just one sec.
No problem. So I'll just state the two questions that we had. So for the clinical notes, we just wanted any additional or any remaining comments from last week and to indicate which of the newly proposed elements you most value and provide other important note types that you feel should be raised. So that was under the clinical note. And then provenance, we asked everyone to provide a short definition of how you would choose to define the author within the context of the proposed data element, considering the conversation in recent meetings about the differences between author, generator, source, and aggregator. It is those two areas. And Johnny, do you have a preference on where you want to go in the document? Where's the clinical notes?
Yep. Nope. Wherever you want to go to. I can zoom in.
Can you zoom? Yep.
Yep. I don't think I have the actual homework on here.
Can somebody copy the URL of the Google Doc and shoot it to me?
With presenters, yeah.
That'd be great. Well, I don't think there's not a presenter comment. There's just a public comment, and I don't think you want it there, so you may just need to shoot it.
Who's speaking?
Stephen Lane, sorry.
I'll send it to you because I couldn't find it until this morning either. I'll send it to you right now.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Great, thanks.
Okay, so we're at the clinical notes. So on the screen, we have the clinical notes that are in the proposed USPDI.
Yeah. So, do you want to how do you want to do this discussion? Do you want to do it based on the homework that we just had?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, let's start off. Question. So,
this was.
So, all
So on the Google Doc below, under our clinical notes section, there's the list of the ONC proposed new note types: consultation, discharge history, image, lab, pathology, procedure progress. And if you scroll down about a page, there are the CCDA document types, the HL7 list. And I guess one question I would have is there a reason why we're not selecting all of these 12 instead of the...
Yeah, my thought continues to be that we should include them all, that someone who was writing for the ONC picked a subset of the ones they thought were the most important, but I think it makes sense for us to just link to the CCDA standard as it is evolving. And this is the new version. I know they added a couple fairly recently. Let me go back and find my reference document and just be sure this is the latest. The 12 is the right number.
I think this is R2. R2V1.
Okay, good.
Any other thoughts on that comment that makes sense to the group, or?
Yeah, that makes total sense. There's no...
I agree in this sense.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, that makes this a lot easier then.
Okay. Stop.
There we go.
Yeah. So the new ones that were added were care plan, referral note, and transfer summary, all of which I know are near and dear to your heart, Terry. So.
Yeah. Our little study generated a fair chunk of those. So. Good. All right. Any other comments on clinical notes? And so, are there? So I guess the next question is: all right, this is a great list. And it's a step a little farther than what ONC initially proposed. So are there any other kind of types of notes that we think, so if you scroll down a little farther, Johnny, you'll come to the HIT recommended additional elements. There's a, you know, and whether this is a note or whether it's a template, but it's reconciled medication lists, an advanced care plan note, long-term services and support care plan, which is different, quality metrics, standard query response, function, cognition. So anyway, those...
I'm sorry, where did this list come from?
I made it up. This is, if you go down the Google...
Oh.
You keep going on the Google Doc, and you get to the title, it says high-tack recommended additional elements.
Got it.
What's missing, what might be valuable. There are some other note types that aren't, and again, the question is, are these notes or are they templates and just could fit into one of these other note categories? But they're...
Well, it's interesting, Terry, because... You know, when you're speaking as a clinician, a note type is different than a CCDA document template, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a little squishier and subjective.
Yep.
I mean, these document templates, a lot of really smart people have spent a lot of time figuring out just what belongs in them and what the structure is and testing and all that stuff. But there are clearly different kinds of notes that we would write, as you say. But since those, you know, some unless you're actually referencing a standard with your terminology here, I think, again, it's hard to say this is going to be part of USCDI because then it requires a lot of upstream work, right? I mean, people have to create these note types and define them and, you know, train them, et cetera. Is there something in here that you see as so different than what's already in CCDA that it needs to be added? And if so, does it make sense to add it in USCDI or to push it back to CCDA and say it should be added there?
So on this subsequent list, I think the one that probably, the two that stand out most to me in terms of high value are a current reconciled medication list, separate and apart from any other note that that might be found in.
Here, here.
Okay. And there is a standard, so and I believe there is an accepted standard. And then the second one is the advanced care plan note, and I know that's Lisa Nelson's, she's got an HL7 note type that was balloted and passed. I don't know where it stands right now, whether it's trial use or has gone further, but those two, you know, from my perspective, if they're not explicitly called out in one of the other note types, and almost even if they are, they independently have value. And if you only wanted to send an advanced care plan or a reconciled med list, you know, do we need a note type to sort of carry that? Or do we just
I don't know that these really are advanced care plan, I guess, is a note because it doesn't really, I mean, I don't know that there's a standard structure for an advanced care plan. There's certainly a structure for a medication list.
Yep.
It's a list. And one could argue that, you know, there should be medication names and forms and dosages, et cetera, and SIGs. So I don't know. I mean, I totally agree that a reconciled medication list, and I would take out the word current. I would say reconciled medication list with a date. You're right, as of, and according to whom. I mean, right, that's the thing. Who reconciled it and when? And the who should not only be the individual, but also their role. Was it the patient? Was it the parent? Was it a nurse? Was it a pharmacist? Was it a physician? Was it, you know? So as of, by whom, and the role. So that's, and again, if we can use this opportunity, if we can call it a note type and say, well, it's a note that has a format of a list, you know, that's fine. An advanced care plan, again, I think, so this is very much end of life care preferences. I think most people know what that is now. And sometimes this takes the form of an unstructured note. Are you thinking about pulses and durable powers as a part of this, or you're thinking specifically of a unstructured textual note?
Yeah, I think both. You know, I think you, if it's a CCDA, you've got enough flexibility to do both. But it's actually even more than just end of life. This is sort of the statement of the individual's preferences, in many ways their priorities, which are also on the common clinical data set, or to be called out in USPDI later on. This may be the envelope which holds those particular core data elements.
So let me looking down at the other documents that you listed, cognitive function, functional capacity, quality metrics, query response. I mean, those are all interesting. I know our organization has a lot of interest in quality metrics. This sort of goes to the whole area that, you know, we're looking at in the FAST and DaVinci on the fire side. But again, it's hard to think about these as note templates.
With the exception of let me phrase it another way. Is there, or should there be a standard quality metric query response? That sort of looks at electronically generated quality metrics, so the ECQMs of the world, which are going to grow as interoperable exchange increases. In fact, there will be electronic quality measures for interoperability as one measure, for example, or a set of measures. And the question is that, you know, is this an area that's worthy of thinking about whether there is a note type that could serve as a common starting point for
sharing? I think what you're really getting at, Terry, is that there's a standard set of data. Well, one could argue that there's a standard set of data that is used for electronic quality reporting. That set is changing, right, as Medicare and others, you know, change what they're doing. But it's, you know, it's more stable now than it was, you know, a few years ago. And what you're saying is if you're in EHR, that there should be a standard format. We can call it a note type, you can call it a report, you can call it any number of things, that where you pull that data from your system, package it up, and then share it with somebody. And again, whether that's another clinical system, whether it's a payer, whether it's a public health, you know, patient, what have you. And again, I think we're sort of trying to shoehorn this into this, well, into USCDI, to say that, again, either to say that every system should be able to do this, or to say that if you're able to do this, if you're able to calculate one or more standardized quality metrics, that you should then also be able to package those up into a standard format, call it a note type, and then ship it to somebody. Again, that's a laudable goal. I mean, I think it's really, we really do want systems to be calculating standard quality metrics in standardized ways, and we do want them to be able to share those, both by a FHIR and CCDA and, you know, you name it. Again, I question the use of note types for that. And again, it's also, there's sort of, this is another one of those derived metrics, right? I mean, electronic clinical quality measures are derived from clinical data. So it's kind of like those BMI percentiles we were talking about. So if you derive something from your core data, you need to explain, you know, include, well, what, you know, what was the equation, you know, or methodology that you used to derive that, right? Because there's often calculations involved in putting those together. Again, it feels like a little bit of an overreach to USCDI, to me, just on the surface, but I'm not against it.
Okay, and thank you again, Stephen, for being far more articulate than I am about exactly how this fits in. Thank you. So any other comments, Ken, Cheryl, anybody? I mean, maybe we want to put this, you know, again, I think it's got a lot of value, but maybe this goes into the next bucket, just so we get people thinking about it, rather than the do it now bucket.
Well, this is Cheryl. I don't know if anything we're recommending is going to be do it now anyway, because remember, this is going to go against the promotion model that we have for USCDI. So I think still have to be evaluated by the team that's going to look at the data fields and then identify which are the most important to move forward. So I just think this is adding to the list, but I don't think what we're going to recommend to add will necessarily be classified do now versus do later,
okay.
Unless I interpreted it wrong, but I don't think so.
I think my understanding is these are all being proposed for version one, so we're looking at what the draft USCDI will be when it's actually final.
So if that's the case, then I would agree. We would identify these should be there at a future version.
Okay, so the quality metric note, our USCDI stretch note type, goes on a to be thought about in the future category. How about the reconciled medication list as of this date by whom?
You know, the one of these that we've discussed three, the one that is most note-like is the advanced care plan. You know, the medication list is a list, and the quality metrics is a bunch of derived, metrics. So I think if we're talking about note types, we should sort of elevate this advanced care plan note as something that, we have an interest in. And then I think probably a discussion with Lisa and the CCDA team and perhaps even the fire team. I don't know if fire is dealing with note types or not. Would make sense. And then I think, we need to consider whether USCDI is the right place, the right vehicle to promote the sharing, the documentation and sharing of reconciled med lists and the standardized sharing of a standardized set of quality metrics.
I think that's a good question to raise. So if it's not here, where is it?
Is there a better home for this?
Right. And if not, then we'll take it.
And then the others here that, so you talked about the care plan note. That's a note, right?
Yep.
Functional capacity. Again, to me, that's less of a note than it is a maybe a questionnaire kind of thing.
Yeah, or a template, a checklist.
Right.
Situation.
And cognitive function, again, we tend to do that using standardized instruments as opposed to kind of free text notes.
Yep.
Say more about the LTSS HCBS care plan. So I assume work has been done here on sort of standardizing what goes into these care plans.
Yeah, the S&I framework project, ELTSS. Evelyn Gallego was running it for a long time. and it is now gone to ballot, HL7 ballot.
Okay.
So it's an active ballot right now.
Fabulous. And it's the content and the structure so that this information could be captured and then shared, presumably in either CCDA or FHIR formats.
Correct. So it'll be both. So FHIR resources are being built at the same time that the CCDA document type is being built. So, and the whole idea is that it all rests on standardized vocabulary, so that it speaks the same language as the rest of the medical care system.
Oh, that sounds great.
And this will help us with issues around the social determinants of health, the recognition that supportive services are probably going to be the major strategy that at-risk provider groups are going to grab to reduce total cost of care. So, I mean, it's an important area to think about.
And Terry, do you know, is similar standardization work being done on the advanced care plan in addition to the general care plan?
Other than Lisa's note, which was the patient's emergency, I can't remember the exact title, but I think it was a patient-generated emergency care plan standard, which also is the first standard patient-generated note in HL7. So it's got a couple of characteristics that are interesting. Beyond that, I think the CCDA just is flexible enough that you can put in free text, which is important on the note type, but also you can put in a standardized pulse, most, five wishes, whatever you needed.
So I think both of these care plan notes are really good things for us to add when their standards are defined.
Okay, any objection to sort of that recommendation that we add them to the list with the qualifier that when their standards are defined, we would like to move them up the queue?
That sounds like a good plan.
Terry, did you want to say anything more about this, the transfer of care note that you listed at the top?
Sure.
Why do you see that as different than discharge summary? And in my mind, they're kind of the same thing. Perhaps, whether you're being discharged to home care, discharged from acute to long-term care or rehab or vice versa, being discharged from long-term care to a hospital admission. I mean, I see transfer and discharge as very similar.
Right, and there's a big overlap, and the discharge summary is the default transfer note right now. But the discharge summary has different roots and a different purpose and a different regulatory requirement than a transfer note. So you're required to have a discharge summary basically that memorializes what happened in the hospital or in the facility you're in, whatever, but most part it's the hospital. And that memorialization may or may not be terribly useful for further clinical care. It's useful only to the extent that it includes information of value to the next clinical team. And what's valuable to the next clinical team depends on who's on the team and where they are and what the constellation of issues the patient presents with. So it's not a standardized note. It's standardized, but it is very flexible and has a lot of moving parts in it. And the main purpose is just to provide the information to the next clinical or care team, clinical or not, that's needed for safe, efficient, appropriate care.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, there's sort of the billing purpose to the discharge summary. There's the, as you say, it's just sort of the summarization of what got done, which again is sort of related to the billing. And then you're right, the transfer piece of it can be thought of as a different purpose. But are they in a CCDA or a FHIR world, are there going to be different standards for them in terms of what's required? Or is it just more us as clinicians kind of approach it differently?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think the standards are already, you know, the transfer summary note has a set of, and CCDA has a set of templates that are reasonably housed within that note type. And they're different, although there's a fair overlap. They're different from the templates that are housed in the discharge summary note type.
I think you mean the document sections.
The sections are
inside the document template.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't mean to be argumentative. Sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. So my sense is, I kind of think that there are two separate note types with a fair overlap, but you know, a discharge summary includes a lot of information that is of absolutely no relevance to me as the following clinician. What I really want is a very clear statement of problems, you know. What was the problem? What did you do? What happened? What are you going to do next? What should I do next? What should I be aware of? What should I be worried about? That's never found in discharge summaries.
Right, but since we've already determined that both the discharge summary and the transfer summary are CCDA document types, What do we need to add to that? Because we've already said we want to include them both.
Yeah, I don't think we have to add anything more. I think we just put it on the list.
Okay, got it. I just wasn't sure if there was something more you wanted here.
Nope, I want it on the list.
Perfect.
So I'm glad one other person wants it on the list because it's probably going to end up on the list anyway. But anyway.
Yeah, this is Cheryl, and I want it on the list, so I'm happy it's there.
Oh, wonderful. Great. So do we think we've sort of come to our mini consensus on the document types that we will add transfer summary, and we'll put the LTSS and the advanced care plan as next in the batter's box as soon as they get their standards in place?
And we're going to figure out whether we are the right place to be talking about the reconciled medication list.
Okay. And the query, and the quality query and response. All right. So we actually have three tiers.
No, Terry, I just wanted to ask you that when you referred to that as query and response, that's not how I would have characterized it. I mean, I would have characterized it as standard ECQM report or something. What were you getting at when you referred to the query response part of that?
Yeah, it's more, you know, so if so the query part is, do you hold the following data elements that I need in order to calculate this quality metric? That's
right.
The query. So here's the list.
Or have you calculated this quality metric and can you just send it to me?
Yeah, no, that would be a reasonable alternative. But it's really just a standardized way of requesting and bundling and sharing.
Right. Either the native data that's needed and or the calculated measure.
Right. In the specifications, as we said, we really need to have specifications of the particular nomogram. Well, the specification would be, you know, here's the NQF query, the NQF standard, which goes in infinite detail about, you know, what ICD-10 codes are included in the denominator. You know, so it's a very elaborate request.
Right.
But it should be a standard query. You know, it should be nice if we could just think about it as a, in a sense, as a note type. So I'm gonna send you a query. This, and you know, it's a quality query.
And you're gonna send me a response, and I'll know what I'm to expect.
Correct. Yep.
Thanks. That's helpful.
Yeah, because I think we have to close the loop with the quality metrics, which are going to be more and more driven out of the EHR, I believe.
Okay, why don't we take a quick break for Paula comment, just since we're kind of wrapping up on that point. Is that okay, Harry?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, fine with me.
Operator, can we open the public line?
Certainly. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue, and you may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Okay, and do we have any comments in the queue at this time?
We have none at this time.
Okay. I will give it back to you, Terry. I know we had the number up for a while, so hopefully they gave folks time to dial in, but we'll wrap up what we need to today, and then we'll prepare for our next meeting.
Great. Okay, gang. Anything else that people are eager to share that we haven't touched on? Maybe next time around, we'll hit demographics and provenance. But I think we did a great job on notes and pediatric vital signs. I think
when you guys met last week, did you discuss Steve's feedback on the provenance?
Yeah, I think we did.
Good. Okay.
Yes, we did. Okay, so go ahead, Terry.
I'm just saying that the question on provenance is, and someone raised the point, shouldn't we look at what some of the other countries have been doing about provenance, particularly, you know, Great Britain, some of the international approaches? And I must confess I haven't looked. But we can dive into provenance next week. I think the issues are going to be the same. This is a great starting set, and what do we think should be added to it? That's not a big stretch right now, and then where do we think the elements ought to go from here?
Sounds good. So we will have the, we'll finish our provenance discussion next week. I think it was a really good discussion around the pediatric vital signs. I would like to come back to that. I don't think we're completely fully baked in our recommendations. I think we see a tremendous amount of value in providing the percentiles to and calculations for the systems that may not be as robust, but I would like us to consider over the course of the week before our next meeting what risks are involved with the calculations. I think we've seen a couple comments from Dr. McClure in this conversation that we were going to need maybe a way to calculate. So is that from CC or CBC or another source? And I just like us to think about kind of what complications are there going to be with the percentiles to make sure that this is the direction we want to go, because I think we have identified it as a huge value add.
And again, I think the complication is that they're not going to be valuable for most advanced EHRs that would receive them. And in fact, those EHRs may not have any place to put them, right? Because if, as I suspect, the EHR is kind of displaying the percentile in real time based on calculations in the user interface as opposed to storing them, you know, if suddenly they're getting a percentile, they're going to have to figure out somewhere to put that, and then they're going to have to figure out whether or not they actually display that calculated percentile from the external system to the user, and if they're that's not what they're in the habit of doing. So, I mean, I can see some complications with this sending of the percentiles to clinical systems. Again, I think as we discussed, the primary value is really to the other systems that perhaps aren't as advanced or haven't built out functionality in that area to being able to take that contextual data and display it to users. But yeah, that probably does bear further discussion to make sure that we're encouraging something that's valuable without creating undue burden for those where it would not have value.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well put.
Any last comments, questions, thoughts before we wrap up?
Just one statement. Your meeting that you scheduled for Friday is at a time when I had another meeting that I'm trying to move. So I'm working on that.
Thank you very much. And sorry for the last minute change. It's just there's a cascade of events, and next week's going to be a pretty tight week.
Looking forward to seeing you all, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks to everybody. This was a great discussion. I think we're making progress, and look forward to the next set. All right, so safe travels until then.
Ciao.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks.
See you next week.
Bye.